Well, here we are, 50 years of FM 95, which signed on this day in 1966. And the man that was in the room that encouraged others that this FM thing was a good idea, Roger Coleman, sitting across from me right now, and a lot of history with you. Roger, welcome.
Right. Well, it's delightful to be involved in something that's been successful.
Yeah.
And the people that have owned it have upgraded it in every situation.
Yeah.
When it was put on the air, the only cars that had FM radios were Lincolns and Cadillacs.
Oh, wow.
I mean, all the rest of them.
So it was listening at home if you had a home radio.
Right.
That was, yeah. So tell us about this. Roger Coleman is here with us celebrating our 50th, and the man, you can almost say, totally responsible for footing FM 95 on the air. But you were here at WGIL after you got out of the service.
Correct.
Yeah. Tell us about that time and why you thought this FM thing was going to be big.
Well, it's what happened after I became the manager. The Federal Communications Commission started making allocations of FM frequencies all across the country. And there was what we called a Class A station that was allocated to Galesburg.
Mm.
And it was our thinking at that time, as you're aware, Class A is a lower power than a Class B or a Class C. A Class C is the highest power.
Sure.
And Class B, you could get 50,000 watts.
Yeah.
And so the allocations that for the higher powered stations were along the Mississippi River in Illinois and Iowa. And we decided that there was one, I think it might have been allocated to Fort Madison.
Yeah.
And we petitioned the FCC that we would like it moved to Galesburg. Well, nobody in that area contested it, so they did move it.
So you grabbed 94.9.
Right. But here was the other thing. An individual who didn't own a station could have applied for it and got it over us.
Oh, wow.
But that didn't happen, and we were able to get the FM station.
Thank goodness, yeah. Yeah. Roger Coleman, you were general manager of WGIL when you put it on the air in 66, right?
Yes.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Right.
And what do you remember about that day when FM 95 went on the air in 1966?
Well, I have to give a great deal of credit to a fellow by the name of Jim Thompson, who's now deceased. He was our chief engineer.
Yeah.
And he spent hours and hours and hours getting it ready and everything.
Yeah.
And we signed on the air, and we had gotten together and the staff, and we gave him a beautiful radio with it. We called him Mr. Fix-It, and we got on the air, and 12 hours later, we went off the air. And I mean, all of the staff, we were distraught because he'd put his heart and soul on
it.
But within a few hours, he had it back on.
Sure.
And frankly, it it didn't have much of an audience because
right.
people did not have FM radios. As I mentioned, the only cars that had them on there were Cadillacs and Lincolns.
Was a home console FM radio? Was it expensive?
I can't remember the pricing, but
yeah.
You know, people didn't have it because there weren't that many stations to listen to.
Absolutely, yeah. So really, WAAG, one of the first 50 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I might mention how we came up with WAAG.
Yeah, tell us.
Galesburg had been made an all-American city by a Look magazine, which is no longer in existence. But I thought, well, it was my idea of the call letters, and I thought, how about WAAG, All-American Galesburg?
That's awesome. I've never known that, Roger. I have never known that. And I don't know that most of the people, except for maybe our current GM, Roger Lundeen, probably knows that. But that's awesome. Okay. All right. All-American Galesburg, WAAG.
And then in the early years, we were the station WGIL in fact, I think in those days it was WGIL-FM.
Yeah.
We played music on an automation system.
A lot of instrumentals, a lot of beautiful music, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Never really developed much of an audience.
Yeah.
And finally, one of the things we did when we moved over to where you are now,
yeah,
we decided... we're either going to go country or we're going to go rock. And we sort of debated. And we had a fellow that had a music shop here in town. His name was Bill Reeves.
Bill Reeves, yeah.
And Bill lived at Cedar and Dayton Street.
Sure.
And at about 7 o'clock in the evening or when he got ready, we would run the station from his basement.
Wow.
And pretty soon people started listening. And all of a sudden they would go over and listen to Bill in his basement.
Yeah.
And then we suddenly decided, well, country is a keeper.
Country's a keeper. Yeah. And put it on the airwaves for good.
Yes.
Now, originally when FM 95 went on the air, or 94.9, across the street from the Orpheum, is that where you were located? 50 years ago?
Well, right. There was originally we were in the Hill Arcade.
Yeah.
Then we moved across from the Orpheum.
Sure.
Old timers in Denver, it was called Ernie's, it was a restaurant.
Okay.
And we ended up moving from the Hill Arcade to across from the Orpheum.
Yeah.
And we had these machines that played these reels of tape, and the announcers on AM were supposed to go over and check and put new reels on when they run out.
You say supposed to?
Yeah. Well, they looked at that like, hey, that may be taking my job someday.
Yeah.
So, and after a while, we just said, we got to do something, and that's when we started the movement toward
country.
Toward country.
Yeah, yeah, a great idea. And Bill Reeves, like you said, instrumental in that.
Right. Marilyn and I took he and his wife down to Nashville because they had a country music thing for broadcasters every year.
Right.
And all of the top stars were there. Johnny Cash, Loretta Lynn.
Yeah.
All of the top stars.
Well, in 1966, the format was country music was really coming up, and two of those people you just mentioned were huge.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would usually take one or two of the announcers, and we went down there for half a dozen years.
Yeah.
And I will have to say this about the country music people: they were the most personable people that I had ever met.
Yeah.
And it was just a great experience.
We still, Roger, go down for those country radio seminars to bring back knowledge of what's going on in the industry. So, yeah. That's it. Roger Coleman is with us. And 50 years ago today, 1966, he was there when we flipped the switch with his friend and chief engineer Jim Thompson, flipped the switch, and it was on WGIL-FM for a couple years, just beautiful music, not much of an audience.
Right.
And then, so a couple years later in the early 70s, people had FM receivers.
That's right.
In their cars, and so...
Oh, I got to tell you one other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a great group of announcers, Jim Wyman and John Bierman, and I can't remember all of them, but...
Montana Morse was another. Do you remember Montana? Morse was his last name?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's a country music singer now, but he was on the air back then, yeah.
But we were able to buy what you call an FM tuner, which you could put in your car.
Yeah.
And I think it cost around $12 or $15.
That's not bad.
And is what we would do on every Saturday. All of the FM announcers would go out to Farm King, and we would sell these things for... just what it cost us, and then we would put them in their cars.
Really? The announcers themselves?
The announcers themselves. And that helped build the station because they got to know the announcers and, we got this. And I don't know if there's anybody around here has an FM tuner or not. I would seriously doubt they even make them anymore.
Right. Roger, it's amazing that you could come in today, and that you know when you're at home and you flip on the radio, you got to be proud of WGIL. Both, it's been around for over 75 years, but especially today, 50 years of a station. And then you went on and you put many other radio stations on the air that are still thriving.
Well, I'll have to tell you this: about a week ago, John Hoshite called me from WRMJ in Aledo,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I think we're coming up on our 40th, and I'd like for you to come and do something with us.
Yeah.
So I put a number of radio stations on the air.
You're making the rounds for the ones that went on. That's great.
But, you know, where that's not happening anymore.
Right, right. It doesn't. And you got to be real proud of this one. I'm proud of my 20 plus years here, and there's some a lot of people that have been around as long as I have here, but the guy who flipped the switch sitting in front of me right now, Roger Coleman, it's you got to be proud, and thank you for what you did. Thank you for having that vision back then to say this FM thing's going to go big. Yeah. Thank you for what you did, and a big happy birthday to FM 95 and WGIL FM back in the day, and thanks for taking the time to come in today, Roger.
Okay, enjoyed being with you, Eric.
Appreciate it.